Okay, the June 2014 report. General fund, previous credit balance, $11,913.79. Fair checks and payments, $36,685.79. Fair deposits, $40,000.63. For a clear balance of $15,228.63. Unclear checks and payments, $14,968.04. For an account balance of $260.59. The money markets beginning balance, $201,745.99. Clear checks and payments, $40,000. Clear deposits, $8,461.53. For a clear balance of $170,207.52. And the equipment fund CD, there was no activity, so the pending balance will be $43,957.70. Any questions?
I make a motion to accept the Treasury report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Payment of the bills.
Organized. There was four checks that I cut before the meeting. One was to the Aspen Ridge Landscaping that was approved last month at $11.35, which is half of that payment. Lee Energy's was $523.74 for the month. Advanced Disposal was $190.77, and CenturyTel was $224.96 for May and June, based on how the time was played out. So those were paid and sent out. So now, but I'm asking for approval from the board. We'll start with the payroll. Ernie Bankard had 120 and a half hours for the highway. Bill Ingersoll had his monthly salary in two median per dimes. Ted Miller had his salary in three median per dimes. Morris Getterman had 104 hours highway. Donnie Laska, 32 and a half highway hours. Jason Stamper, 45 hours for the highway. David Stendel had 15 and three-quarter hours, community center janitor. And then David also picked up those six beautiful folding chairs for the hall at an auction.
At the Methodist Church, how much for 20?
They're 20 bucks for six chairs, so it's a good deal. We need a few chairs around here, so. And then Bev Standel had 14 and a half hours janitor for the community center. Lloyd Zastro had his salary and then four meeting per dimes. Jim Zastro had his salary and then one meeting per dime, as well as his internet, voicemail, and bank mileage. Then Brian Newman had his salary and three meeting per dimes. And DSL, fax, and mileage, I had to run to Jefferson for the clerk's office and pick up a map. So. Associated appraisal, our June contract payment for our appraisal service, $787.50. Big Jim small engine repair, we purchased two air filters, $56.44. The Concord General Store was a combination of May and June gas expense for $557.94. Dale Connolly, the monthly webmaster, for $50. Frontier FS, Highway Chemicals, I think that was the diesel fuel we purchased for $1,016.66. DeSales Automotive, we picked up a battery. Do we know what truck that was for or what that was for? Ernie, do you know what the battery was for from Gisell's?
Was that for the chipper?
The chipper, okay. Thank you. Guthrie and Fry, we had the actually that was just the water softener for $48. I haven't seen the Iron Curtain statement yet. Jefferson County Highway Department, I think that was the tar, rubber, asphalt. $1,115.31. Then Jefferson County land information, I picked up a map for the planning committee secretary if she would like a map of the town so she can keep up with stuff for $12.50. It's a big order, isn't that? Updated on that. All our town roads. John Bender, Ford F-150 service, $60. Menards had some highway supplies and some community center supplies, $205.24. Napa Auto Parts, we bought two air filters there as well for $47.93. Pat Brandt, monthly recorder, $50. Schneider Printing, I had to pick up new applications and new liquor licenses. I use all the inventory up. So we're good for about another 10 years. It's $163.02. Summers did service on the Toro, is that right?
Toro. Yeah. And at the end of the time, we went over all the cylinder went out.
Yeah, it looked like he did some pretty good work on it. $49.34. And Times Publishing, the invoice for liquor license, tobacco license, which we get back from the applications. It was $280.56 this year. Wisconsin Inspection Agency, the light month on building permits for $177.14. Wolf Construction, you passed on. There's two, there's one already there. There you go. Wolf Construction, Cold Mix, I think there was four total invoices, totaling $1,267.37. And then finally, one made at the last minute that didn't make your sheets in the audience. Bill Blunk does the Ryder Circle Park mowing. He had one day in May and all of June for a total of $175 on there. Didn't write it yet, no.
$80.
Yeah. saw that Saturday.
Okay, make a motion to pay the bills.
I so move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Any correspondence?
No, the only correspondence is we do have an election coming up on August 12th for the primary, which will be held here.
There's a bike ride. There's a number of bike rides coming up. I don't know.
Right. Well, on the internet, we have the MS bike ride is using it. What day was that? August 7th, I think it was. August 2nd, they'll be here. And then there's the Tour de Trees, which was the 28th. Is that right?
27th. On Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday morning. We come in through.
Did you talk to them yet?
Oh. I did speak with her and told her we wouldn't have any volunteers, but they could use the place. And
I just noticed on my sheet that they want tables. She didn't say nothing to me. Are we supposed to provide the tables for them?
Yes. We always have.
Well, this is the Tour de Trees. This is different. This isn't the MS Hall. This is a different one. I will check with her.
Because we have to get them all before church starts.
Does the church use them?
This is a Sunday.
Not going to get along with them on the stage. No, they do not use those.
Okay. So you need to know how many tables she needs?
That's what I want to know, is how many tables she wants. And tell them they're the big ones.
Big ones being 10 foot or 12 foot?
8 foot.
Doesn't matter. It's a normal size.
Okay. Yeah. Normal size. Yeah.
Okay,
it's on a Sunday.
It's an interesting cause. They go across the country and they raise money for trees in the area.
Okay.
Bev knows it pretty well. She
knows
the lady.
We have to be down here planting flowers when she can. And anyway, they go every year to a different state. Last year they were in Michigan. This year they're in Wisconsin. They start in Milwaukee. We are the first stop, then they go to Madison, then they go up the west coast, cut across, go into Door County, and then back down. It takes 1 week. They come up in motels at night so they get a good rest. They have their own chef with them from Toronto, Canada. Each steel chainsaw donated $32,000 to this cause, and a lot of people that donated big money. There's 80 people, and each one of them had raised a very significant amount of money. The money that is used is for urban areas where trees, like, say, if tornadoes go through, storms, you know, stuff, but all the money stays here in Wisconsin. Next year, they're going to Florida. So, they'll be here at 11:30 till 1 o'clock. And they're going to use that side of the lawn and come in that far door there quietly because they know there's church. I have talked to Chris and Jay from church that they will be closing the doors so that they don't disturb the church service. And they'll be just using the bathroom. And I think Dave and I will be down here just to make sure that they don't flush the toilets too often and we have five toilets like we had at 1 year. Because they don't fill fast enough, you know, they just one pops in, the next one pops in, and they're flushing in it. So you get a fly toilet.
Okay. That's more than enough information. We hate climbing toilets, so. All right, that takes care of the correspondence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Looks like there's no old business. Under new business, I just want to start with E before anything else, Old Town Hall roof. We have Rick from Roof
Over the Top
Roofing. And you have a bid for us on.
I do.
I have the one, but if you have another couple copies.
I do have two copies, and I'll make it for him here. Who would like one?
I'd give a board here a couple of people would. Now, last month, Cindy, you presented us with about three bids, and I don't know what the cheapest one was, but Rick's bid is, what does it come out to be, Rick? Maybe you can.
Actually, if I can get one back, then I can call Rick with you guys. Thanks.
Well, I'm Rick Einan. I'm the owner of the company. We've been in business for 14 years. If you listen to 106.1, we sponsor that whole radio station, which is a country station. We have approximately about 30 employees. We have brokers in-house, we have masons in-house, we have carpenters in-house, and we have one of our gutter shops and division. I grew up in Exonia, and that's how I kind of met through people in this area. Basically, we were based out of Menominee Falls. That's where our operation is. I still live out in the Conemaugh area. But what we did was we came out and went around the property and took a look at it. We did find that there was gapping on the older part of the building. We weren't able to get into the main structure of the building, but off the side there's a breezeway going off the back of it, and there was gapping there. So what I did was I did put a proposal together to option the decking if needed, because we could not get up into the main structure of the building. So what we proposed was to remove the existing shingle down the wood deck. At that point, if there's any rotted or bad wood, we have an allowance or a per linear price for pine boards to replace. On the newer sections, you guys have an OSB sheen, which is a 4x8 sheet of plywood, and we have a $35 per sheet to replace on that. That includes us buying the material, removing it, installing the new products, and disposing of the old products. The next is, if there is anything over a half inch gapping of the pine boards, by the product itself, the shingle manufacturers, we have to install a half inch, 7/16 to a half inch OSB sheeting over the entire decking. So as we're nailing the shingles down, we don't hit any open spaces, and that'll actually create blow-offs or any issues like that. So we have proper nailing along the whole board. Now, we option that out in our proposal as well. The next is installing on 6 feet of ice and water barrier along all the gutter eaves and any valleys or any protrusions on the roof, around the chimney, so on and so forth. The next is we can do the synthetic products for the underlayments, which is the old felt paper. We recommend still 15-pound felt paper. It's been around for 50 years, and it's worked great on homes. And manufacturers even suggest a 15-pound more than their synthetic products that new roofers are installing at this time. The only reason why it helps us out is there's more coverage per roll than it is per felt paper roll. It's a lighter product, and it's allowed to allow weather to be rained on, and it's allowed to be out in the sun more than felt paper is. This size job for our company would be a one-day project, start to finish. We also have other options in for the chimney and for some flashings along where it meets the siding where they tied in the old buildings, or the new building to the old building. So there is a couple different options in here which we can go deeper in. The next is we install all new pre-finished metals along the edges and along your gutter aprons. We don't use any of the old products. We install starters to give you the full wind rating, which is 130 mile an hour wind rating on the shingles itself. We install a limited lifetime dimensional shingle, which is the new cedar shape dimensional three. It's not the old three tab like you have on there now. So it's going to be the new dimensional shingles, which is Owens Corning is the manufacturer that we recommend for our property. I know they're looking for a weatherwood color, which would be the driftwood color in Owens Corning. I can bring a couple samples just to show you. These are actually the full shingles itself. So as you see, they got a grayish tint to match the old cedar shape look. So it'll give you the historical look of the cedar shape. So that would be the color that we're recommending, which is the driftwood.
Well,
and that is the weatherwood. Other brand manufacturers like Certainteed, GAF products, all they call their product in this color is weatherwood. And it's the same color between the two, which would be the grayed cedar shake look is like what we're looking for, and that would be the driftwood in Owens Corning. Up here. Which one? I'm sorry. This is a really light shingle. It's really about light gray, really gray. That is not like a cedar shade rug. It would be more of the driftwood, like I circled right here, more of a gray. It's an aged cedar, yes. Whenever we're tearing off a cedar shaped roof on a house, we are going back with the driftwood. These are two stacked on top, so it's more of a gray. This is the product you see, not the upper. It's more of the product on the bottom, which is more of a gray, brownish gray shingle.
Okay. I do have some recommendations,
you know,
for the
service.
Yeah.
That I can show you too.
No, the color is the material.
Yeah, the color.
I'm going to let Cindy pick it out with you and the fine stuff.
We have a whole bunch of different colors. You can't see them both stacked. Get something closer to what you're looking for. The next is we use roofing nails. We don't use staples. Staples is the cutting edge, and all manufacturers will void their warranty with using staples. It doesn't give you the full 130 mile an hour injury on this product. Speaking of the warranty of the products, we are preferred contractors of Owens Corning's and Shingle Master companies. Also, we go to classes, and it's not just the owner, it's also the employees. We set them all too on. The next is we don't reuse any of the old flashings, any pipes or any protrusions around the chimney. We put on all new stuff. And we use steel around the chimney. We don't use aluminum. That'll oxidize with mortar, the acids in the mortar. So it's not a proper thing to do. We're going to reuse the existing wall flashings. So where you have your older building, it ties into the new buildings that come off the back and the front porches. They have flashings that are actually in there. What I noticed is there's in the additions, they didn't tie in any tin flashings in there. So what we could do is, what they did in the past, they just caulked it along the edge. I don't recommend that. We put an option in here for removing about 6 inches of the siding and putting a trim board along that so we could put proper flashings in there. And there would be a 4x4 steel step flashing so that way we're not coming on caulk to prevent any leaking of any kind.
You're actually talking about the roofing some of the on the side of the building. You're talking about moving some of the
correct. Where your old roof goes up on a peak on the old part of the building. Then it drops down to a lower section off the back of the roof.
The office portion
of the roof. That ties into the siding. At that point there should be a metal. It should be almost a steel piece of metal that tucks underneath the flashing, underneath the siding, and underneath the shingle. So what happens is when they tie those new additions on, they put the shingles tight to the siding and put a via caulk along that. What we're recommending is to take a saw, remove about 6 inches of the siding, so we can actually put those tins in, the metal tins. We actually run the ice and water up the wall first, then we put the metal tins in. Then we'll put a piece of pine trim board that runs down to cover that up, and we'll caulk the old siding to where that new trim board would be. And those tins would actually weave into the shingles, so if there's any water running down that edge, it won't run back into the building, you know, being held up by caulk. It'll be actually steel in there, and it'll be flashed, so the water as it runs down, it'll actually overlap and step down to the gutter. So it'll be a much better system to be tied in. So we did option that for you. We give a limited lifetime warranty on our products. It's right from the manufacturer that gives that. It's a 50-year shingle. For the first 12 years, it's 100% dumpster labor and material. After that, it goes to a 50-year prorated on material only. Next is on our workmanship. We give as long as the manufacturer warranties it, so it's a 50-year shingle. We come back and if there's a rubber roof that failed on workmanship, we want you guys to call us first. Like I said, we've been in business 14 years. Most of the time, my client is rubber boots failing, which you guys don't have on it. You have lead lashings that go around all your pipes and stuff. So those never go old. But again, that's the only thing that's going to really fail on there is the lashings stuff if it's not done properly. And that's on a workmanship warranty. Total investment without the flashings, I have options in there. It's $10,280. And then we also have options for brand new gutters. There are some areas that do not have gutters on there. I do know you guys have the fieldstone basement in there. We actually just got done remodeling or restoring a fieldstone basement on Oconomowoc, Upper Oconomowoc Lake on the old pass. Buildings. It was actually washing out all this stone because all the water was washing out the basement walls. And it was actually carrying the mortar in. So we had to go back in there and re-hand cut point everything and put the wall back together. Gutters will actually control that and stop the water from running down along the building. So we have an additional cost for gutters is $1,460 on there. And then the next is to replace the tins along where the new building, the office building ties into the old building, you're looking at $675 to do the back and the front along the roof line. That would give you all brand new tins in there. The next is there's no venting on the old portion of your roof. And to get the proper venting, we can do it three ways. One way is a power vent, which will actually remove the hot air from your building and your heat bills will go up. Second is, which we don't recommend, second is you can actually put heat vents along the side and a ridge vent up top, and that will actually create a flow from soffit to the ridge. The problem with that is when you have the snow and ice build up along the edge, it actually could work into that heat vent along the edge, because it actually is a hole cut inside that material with a piece of plastic, and it's cut through the ice and water. And if the snow and ice builds up high enough, it could actually work back into your building. We don't recommend that either. The other way, which we've done in older homes, we actually remove a section in the gable and we do a cross gable vented system. And it goes from gable to gable and it vents the air across the peak of the roof. So it actually will clear out any warm air and to keep the temperatures proper in your attics. That option is $750. The next option is, I know we're trying to keep the historical look. We know that chimney is not being used on that property. The problem is it's actually starting to crumble and fall apart. We want to keep the look of it. What we could do is, the chimney is actually about 5 feet tall. It doesn't need to be that tall. It has to be 2 foot above the ridge. For proper venting. So what we could do, the top 3 feet is actually what's crumbling and what's falling apart. We could remove 3 feet of that, pour a solid chimney cap on there to give it the solid look of a full working chimney. And that way it actually would be sealed up. We would re-tuck point all the old chimney, the rest of the 2 foot, and that would save the look and also save the cost of rebuilding the whole chimney. Because the bottom 2 feet of it is actually in really good shape. So that option would be $1,275. So with all the options, I think we were looking... we were looking at right up just under $15,000 for the entire project. That we were going to do everything from start to finish. Does anybody have any questions? No, that would include the gutters. Yes. No, $1,400. Okay. Did I say
1,000?
No. Okay, I don't think so. It's definitely a copper. Yep. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yep.
You indicated that the, I'll call it a guarantee, 12 years, and beyond that is prorated. Don't the shingle manufacturers warrant shingles for 20 years? Isn't that the standard? And the term bonded comes to mind when I remember reading shingle ads.
Okay.
Are we talking the same thing?
Not really bonded. Be bonded. Your company's actually going to be the person that's going to be bonded. What bonded is more of an insurance thing. Our company is bonded. Basically, what a bond is we pull insurance out on the amount of a property of how much work we're doing to ensure that we're going to follow through and get the job done. And if we don't, then the bond insurance will pick up and pay another roofer to come in and take care of that problem.
Irrespective of whether it's the manufacturer or the contractor that puts it on, the ads, if I recollect, used to talk about a 20-year period. Is that still in effect? And if so, why isn't your initial guarantee up to 20 years?
It's okay. Back in the day, all these warranties changed on these shingles. Back in the day, they used to call 15-year shingles, 20-year shingles, 30-year shingles, 40-year shingles, 50-year shingles. What they found out that with the new products that they have, in testing that they have, they can guarantee them up to 50 years. So they're called limited lifetime shingles now. And what that means is for the first 12 years, which they didn't do back in the day, it was a 5-year program, for the first 12 years, it was 100%. They pay out of their pocket dumpster, labor, and material. So after them 12 years, then it's prorated up to 50 years on material only. What that means is if there's $2,000, I'm just going to use ballpark numbers, if there's $2,000 on the material itself, then they're going to prorate it. You had half the life, say it lasted 25 years. They're going to give you 50% of that material back. So they're going to give you $1,000 back to the roof. That's how they prorate the material. So that's prorated up to 15 years total. They got away from the 30, the 40, the 50 because they found out that these shingles are lasting longer than 30 years. These are actually considered 30 years about a year and a half ago, 2 years. Now they found out with testing that they're going beyond that. They're lasting much longer. I was just on a property in Pewaukee that are 30 years with this product, and they still look in really good shape. So
you're saying your proposal is in line with the industry standards?
Correct. Now, they do sell TLs, which are true lifetime shingles. Those are prorated up to 90 to 100 years. And those are the true lifetime shingles. There is different branches or different products you can go to and to move up on the cost. These products also, it's like buying an stereo, like warranty, electronic warranty on a stereo. You can buy a couple warranties on here. They have warranties that will give 100% for 10 years, labor and material. But it's like buying cheap insurance. It's not really worth it because of the warranty that they have already. They're expecting people not to buy that because it's... And what that is if I go out of business in 10 years, if my workmanship warranty is on this. Anytime you have workmanship warranty from a roofer, it's their own company that's warranting it. You want to look at, you know, BBB, you want to look at Angie's List, you want to look at, you know, where people get rated on and how long they've been in business, if they're bonded or not, because that shows a past history of the company. Another thing is there's a point number of how much liability your company is, like for people getting hurt on the job with workers' comp. You want to know what that point rating is. The lower the point rating, the better the company, the less incidents they have. So there's a lot of things that you can do to find out more about a company. And I'd be more than happy to give you all our information on that because we do have a solid company.
The second question I have is probably more difficult. In your presentation, you mentioned again three options depending on the condition of the roof. Under the worst case scenario, what would that do to the proposal that you make to the board? Worst case.
I am giving you the worst case scenario. The only thing that can change.
But dollar, I'm talking about dollar money. You laid it out at $15,000.
No. The proposal is for $10,200. And that includes
all the options.
All the options. Now, the other options that we talked about, gutters, flashings along the side, the chimney repairs, those are the added costs.
I'm not talking about the additions. I'm talking about
I understand.
The basics.
The basics, the actual wood, that's all included.
Well, that's 16 OSBs.
Yes, it was.
No. If we need to deck it, it's an option of $1,650.
Oh, okay.
So you, might as well figure on it.
$1,650.
Yeah.
10 to 8.
So you would be, worst case scenario, $1,930. $11,930.
Over 12,000. They can get it done.
That gets the roof done itself, but that doesn't give the gutters, that doesn't do the chimney, that doesn't
the additional
work.
Not the repair work.
Yep. Any other questions?
Are these called timber line?
No, those are GAF products. These are called Owens Corning Oakridge. If you look at, that's a good question. There's like 10 different brands of shingles. Actually, there's quite a more than that. But if you look at who's the runner-up on like Consumer Reports, Owens Corning and CertainTeed and GAF are like three number one shingles out there. The only difference between Timberline and GAF shingles is they're on a leak-only warranty. If you read the fine print of their warranties, and that's why I don't sell their products, it's a leak-only warranty. Owens Corning and CertainTeed are performance. About a week ago, we installed shingles from Owens Corning on a building out, I want to say, towards Heartland area, and it was a 100-square building. It was a bigger building, bigger face, and we always do a before and after pictures. So we were coming back for our after pictures, and we took pictures of it, and the colors, there was actually blotches on this big slope of the roof, and it was only a week old. So we called the manufacturer, which was Owens Corning. They actually paid us to come back, tear off the shingles, put all new shingles back on because it didn't match color. It didn't match their warranty, their performance warranty. So they paid us to go and tear off the roof again and redo it again to make sure that it was proper for the customer. So that's the difference between the products. GAF is a leak-only warranty. If you call them up and say, look, my shingles are failing, the granules are washing off, they're starting to show the fiberglass mesh, they're starting to wear out. The first question they'll ask is it leaking? And you'll say, no, it's not leaking yet. Then they're doing their job, they're holding up. CertainTeed and Owens Corning would say, let me come out and take pictures of it, and they will reimburse or repair. And that's the two things, that's one main thing different. Yeah. Okay. It's that, this is actually a dimensional, it's not a 3-tab. A 3-tab is like what you have now. The dimensional change, this is the exact same as this.
Well, I know that there are
same warranties. This is the one more thing, this is a coil cave.
Where people, or what did it include? I don't have room here.
Yep. Once this is laid down, we're all
$12 million
for
we got to do the roof.
None of them could have
done. Well, no, but that's all got to get done.
But the other one is installed. So when it takes out, there was 3 years of shingle the roof part, and it's less than $12,000. This is much better than our Any other questions before we keep on going here? Any other questions about his Rick's bid here? In my mind, you know, Rick has given us a fair bid, and our perception was that we would do it volunteer work and try to save money. How much money would we save? How well would it be done? When would it be done? What is the liability cost? You're talking, what, 2 days' work, 1 day' work?
Depends on the options you take. My crews are not, like my roofers are not my carpenters. My roofers are not my masons. I have masons, I have gutter guys, I have carpenters, and I have roofers. They're professionals in their own trades. So if we do the roof alone, that would be 1 day. If we're going to do the siding, where we cut it in, and we also are going to do the vents. That would be done on the same day. If we're going to do the chimney, that would be done before the roof would be done, so that way my masons would be up on the roof, scaffolded in, working off of that. And he brought up a good point of liability. We have our full workers' comp. We have our full liability insurance. Anything happens, anybody falls, anybody even walking by steps on a nail, it's on our insurance because we are the generals of the job. I've seen so many times where even the friends that I grew up with did their roof with friends and one fell off and broke an ankle. And then it's on their insurance. Then, you know, they're not healing up from it. Well, that's why we carry workers' comp. That's why we pay our workers' comp.
Who's your liability carrier?
Allied.
Who?
Allied Insurance Company.
Allied.
Yep.
Not to confuse the issue, have you had any experience with Hycross steel treatments?
I have not. I know the product. It's a special shingle that's out there, and it's something that I haven't really got into, and I haven't really liked.
You're more, because I've got them on my house. You got 100 year guarantee.
How do you like the? Are they?
Oh.
I've heard two different stories. I heard one story that they're really loud when it rains out, and another story that it actually caused damage trying to get up on their rope. They can't walk on their rope. Okay.
All right. The point is, Rick has given us a good, solid bid, and I asked Sockwell because they lived in our community to get this bid. I called him up on Tuesday. He said he'd give me a bid over the weekend. He called me up. He never called me up. I called him this morning. Got his answer machine. Left a message on his machine. He never called back. So apparently, they don't want to give us a bid. So right now, we're looking at the three bids that Cindy gave us originally. Plus Rick's bid here, and I don't know, the other thought was to do it ourselves. So if you have any other questions, Rick can take off and we can discuss the options and decide whether or not we want to move forward with over the top roof. And go from there. I guess the question that it's going to be ended up is, do we want to try to do it ourselves and try to save money? And are we actually going to save money, and are we going to do a good enough job? So I think that's the only way that we would possibly save money, but it's the big possibly would be a big question mark, you know. So.
Well,
and how much?
In line with what the issue that you're raising, Bill, of the total $12,000, that would be.
A little less than $12,000 if we don't do any of the options.
How much is labor and how much is material?
We don't ever break it up that way.
Just to have some idea. For the benefit of the board and their
I would say your material costs.
I'm not real comfortable with that question, so if you don't want to answer that.
Well, I have it broken down here. Material costs, what you're looking for with the plywood and the shingles and the felt paper, ice and water, all your flashings, you're looking at probably right around 67 grand.
So it's about an even split profit.
But now you also have dumpster. You also have, well, I pay workers' comp. I pay $40 per $100 I give my employees. So I have to pay $40 to my workers' comp. Taxes. Everything else that goes into running a business. So it's not really a split of material. The cost of doing business, it's about a quarter. So
material?
No, the labor. So
Bill, you had mentioned prior to the hand just coming up about their roof sagging. What happens when you get that roof cords off and you find out there's rafters or not?
Well, we do have carpenters in-house that we would be able to, and that's another thing I was going to bring up by doing it yourself. We have the capability of coming in and with our crews, pulling them off the jobs they're working on, getting it restructured, and then getting it closed back up with the weather. That would definitely be something that's an extra because we didn't, you know, we're bidding the roof itself and we're asking to do the roof. What I was looking at, I don't think you guys are going to have any issues with it. Basically, what I see in my past experience of doing this, That's just actually from the span that you guys have. You're going to always have a little dip like that. And it's just from gravity weighing on it, but also the old lumber drying. That'll actually shrink. And that's kind of why we do our chimney flashes in two pieces, because the wood actually expands and shrinks with the moisture in the air, and the chimney, the block doesn't. So you actually do a double flashing, one up and one over, so that way it moves separate, and it'll let it shrink and expand so it'll never cause any leaks down the road. Perfect example, my mom and my stepdad in Exonia decided to do their own roof when I owned a roofing company. And I got a phone call as we're finishing up a roof. My mom, you know, having a heart attack. My stepdad tore the whole roof off, and there's a big red, orange, yellow cloud coming in from Madison. And I had to run, get all my crew together after we were done, get over there, and we broke that thing in 3 hours for him with my whole crew, because it started hailing on us when we were finally just getting the last shingle right now. That's what could happen if you try doing it yourselves. And typically, if a roofer gets a phone call at that time, they're thinking to themselves, well, it's your loss, let's charge double, triple. Let's get out there and get it done. And I'm not saying our company would do that, but I've seen people that companies come in and start a roof or project, walk away, and never finish it because they're not a reliable company. And when the guy's calling around trying to get prices, everybody was jacking the price because of the fact that he was vulnerable. He was, you know, stuck. So we came in and did it for our normal price for the guy. He was happy because we showed up the next day because the weather was done. So, but we do about 2 to 3 roofs a day. That's how big a company we have. So.
Well, Rick, I really do appreciate you taking the time to come all the way out here and explain it to our public here. So, I have no other questions. We'll talk about it. I'll get back to you and let you know when. Sounds real good, though.
Another thing is, I don't know if anybody is an Angie's List member on the internet. You see it online. You know, check out the customer or the company on Angie's List. We are a big member of that. We have close to about 50 to 60 reports about us. We have an A-plus rating on that. It's all customer-based. We can't change nothing. It's actually a better resource than BBB. So it's something to take a look at.
Thank all you. Right. Thank you very much.
I was going to use Dr. Scott's question.
I wasn't comfortable with it. I just don't. You were a lawyer. I mean, how much did you put in your pocket, and how much was your overhead? I mean,
thank you again, Rick.
Yep, thank you.
Today, usually, labor material, you know, rule of thumb. Labor is half the material.
Okay. The point is, you know, I don't want to make him feel like he's the winner or whatever, but the other three bids we got, the lowest one was like about $12,000, and it did not include the OSB on top.
I thought one of them did.
I don't know.
I think it was $22,000.
There was one for $22,000 and one for $15,000, and this is a little less than $12,000 and includes everything. And we could go the extra steps of the chimneys, and the other ones didn't even throw that in there. We could go the extra steps of flashings along the edge. We could just leave it and caulk it ourselves and leave it the way it is. We can have many options. But now Lloyd is the one that tells me that we could try to do it voluntarily. He knows more about roofing than I ever did because he's done a lot of roofing in his time. And he feels that if we can get through this for a little less than $12,000, let the guy do it and we don't have to worry about it. But that's someone that knows more about roofs than I do. So.
Wasn't that $12,000 just the roof, not all the other stuff?
Yeah.
We understood it.
The guy right now?
Yeah.
No, it was $10,000.
But it didn't include the gutters.
$10,280 for the roof.
It don't include the gutters and flashing.
Gutters, flashing, or nothing?
The roof, correct.
But it includes all the boards up on top to replace it correctly, all that kind of, the roof. And that's all the other bidders were, even the other bidders weren't giving us that much. You start with the materials and labor to rebuild the roof. It's $10,280. To put plywood on top of the roof is $1,650 is what he's going to charge us. And then there was another $300 option. But it was the total would be less than $12,000 to have the roof done.
If we do nothing with the chimney.
And none of them talked about the chimneys before. This guy has this. Yeah, this guy has a lot of options, and the options probably are.
Either options are more thorough.
It seems like we worked through the options, but I think we have to carry off part of the chimneys, the gutters, ventilator, all those other things that they have to replace.
I think the venting is very important because if you don't have the right venting, you're going to have curling of the shingles. I've seen that before. And
also, questions for your political beliefs. How do you find them off when you provide things through?
Well, and you have to understand what he's talking about. It's where the office butts up the old school building, and on the other side where they put the bathrooms on, and that butts up the old school building. On both sides of it, it was done pretty cheaply. He was showing me when he was up there that, you know, I don't like that you put it back that way. If you want it done right, this is the way you should do it. But he says, I'll do it any way you want to. We'll make that an option. And if you want to go up there and caulk it and hope that you don't get any leaks, that's up to you. So.
Or you've got to use flashing. You just,
I don't know, between the two of them.
Oh, yeah. Get the water and flow.
So the real thing would be this. And that's what everybody else is bidding on. So for $10,280, it's comparable to the cheapest bid that Cindy had last week.
Lower.
Yeah, it's $2,000 lower.
It's $11,000, I think.
Do you have those yet?
I do.
Because even the low one did not include the OSB plywood installed. So again, Dwight, you tell me, can we as volunteers go up there and do that roof for?
Well, I think that's not even. After I went home and thought about it, I guess I wouldn't feel comfortable unless I could be up on the roof. And I can't be on the roof, so I back off was my proposal.
You promised your kids too, right?
Or you were going to go up there, otherwise if I couldn't, right?
Well, I was going to bring coffee.
Oh, okay. No, it's and to have, I didn't have anybody rushing to my door volunteering. I wasn't expecting it. So I'm content to go with our most sensible bidding. But we should definitely use flashing. Gutters, I'm pretty sure we can get for less money than that. Because there's gutter people in Arizona, and it'll definitely be less than that.
Have the gutters put in this room?
And the gutters going first?
No, no.
No?
No.
No.
Are they completely
separate?
Most of them are attached right to the trim.
Just the fascia.
Now, if you want the old style gutters, round ones, is that what's on there now? They're difficult to find, and they're very expensive. They're still available, but
we can check with also Al Brown and see how much he would want to repair that, or
Arnie figured $900 to take it all the way down and then rebuild it back up. He said he wasn't going to worry about tuck plate. He said he'd take it all the way down to the rough line and then just bring it back up with the good bricks.
Figured
$900.
Yeah, I think we can get the chimney and the gutters locally for less money than he offered us. Definitely.
Let me ask this. Is any of the work embraced in gutter splashing, vending, or shingling. Is it more efficient to do that work at the same time that the new roof is replaced?
Well, the flat
or if you put your parcel down just do the roof, what is the OSB?
That's the particle board.
Okay, so it'd be the first two.
The flashing and the venting would have to be done at the same time. And we're figuring out the problem we need OSB.
And that's what has to be done first, and the gutters can be done last.
Yeah, actually,
if
you just
cut into
the slide.
And the gutters, I thought that we'll do it for this one.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, in my mind, should we think about it, or just wait and see if I get anything from Sawwell yet, or whatever? We don't have to be in a real rush. It sounds like he can probably do this next week the way he...
Couldn't you get
some,
like the
chimney,
ask
Al
Brown about that?
Well, again, we had Arnie Winkelman gave us a $900 bid, and it was more than what this guy was saying. This guy just said tear it down to a certain level and put a cap on it so it doesn't leak in, and Arnie could maybe do that too. And give
us right, that's what, right, but Arnie figured to take it down to the roof line
and then build it back up,
and the cap was his.
So if he did that for $900, just to take it down and cap it, he'd probably do it for, you know, $500 or something like that.
Well, I think keeping it at the height that it has is historical, so his option to
build
it to where it was.
Well, no, his option was to bring it back up to about halfway because of the good brick only.
No, that's what his option
is. That's what Arnie figured, 9 feet. He figured the top half of the bricks, they're junk.
Mm-hmm.
So why you're figuring that? Because there's a shot on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you're figuring halfway to make the brick go, because where are you going to find the bricks?
Right, to color match it nice well.
That's why they figured it halfway up. The brick going shot on top.
And that was the thing, with going halfway up, you're still... Granted, it's only for aesthetics, but it's within code though too, because it's that many feet above the roof.
All right. Well, I don't want to spend all night on it, but we can say, all right, this is the guy we're going to go with, and let's go with it and be done with it. But are we at the point that we can say that this is the best bid that we have? Do we wait until we see what Sawwell does?
Yeah. Let's just wait till next month and make a final decision.
Okay.
You've got September and October for installation. No rush on us. Let's.
The other thing you might want to do is just reach out to him because he does have a 20-day window on here. He can withdraw it after 20 days. So I don't think he would, but you probably should give him a heads up. He'll be able to send him a response.
Yeah, so I'm gonna make a decision.
20 days.
Usually they give you 30.
I saw him.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Right, I just give a heads up. So I'm sure he'll be fine with it, but I would just let him.
All right, I will give him a heads up, and let's table it till next month, and then we will make a decision next month and go with that.
Can you make a motion to table?
I'll make a motion to table it till next month.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
All right.
We got that one done. Another easy one. MS Bike Ride. Donate to the CCC for August 2nd. We have no problem with it. We've done it in the past.
We've done it every year.
Yeah.
So I make a motion to let them come in and use the community center for their MS bike ride.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
All right.
Aye. Okay. Credit card for the town of Concord. I'm going to do the easy one first. down at the general store, Concord General Store, they have a machine in there that they cannot take and say, all right, Ernie goes in and buys gas, and now somehow they have to enter it in. They do it all longhand with a ledger right now. And it'd be a lot.
The poor people having to do it longhand, right?
whatever. And she would like it if we could just get a credit card, and then we'd have a record of the gas going in, and she would have no problem, you know, because she don't have to worry about it keeping track of it and all that kind of stuff.
Your mobile card.
It'd be a mobile card that Ernie and the guys could go down and fill up the trucks with a mobile card. And we'd have to just monitor it to make sure that Ernie isn't putting it in his car instead of his truck.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the process.
Plus, I think you can get 6 cents a gallon kickback by.
Yeah, 3 cents or 5 cents.
45. 6 cents over 45 gallons.
How much is it?
6 cents over 45 gallons. 6 cents per gallon.
$45 per month.
Which we do. But we do more than 45 gallons.
My point is, then I make a motion to let's apply for a credit card so that the guys won't have to cross the park.
Right, but it's going to be a mobile card for use at just for the mobile gas, correct? Mm-hmm. And then Brian will still match receipts with monthly state.
There you go.
Yeah, it's the process won't change. It's just we won't rely on the problem is we've been missing a receipt or two here or there, and. You know, so then she calls me a couple months later and says, you know, we have to match things up. So this way we should be able to match up every month on our own. It'd be good, but it shouldn't change. Ernie's crew will still have to get a receipt and go back to me every month.
You still have to get a receipt.
What do you guys do for off-road fuel on that stuff? Do for what? Do you
guys get a discount
on that stuff?
For who?
For
off-road. Like, cutting the line and all that stuff, that should be...
Well, it'll all be for a second. You get a six. You get 6 cents off a gallon everything you buy. By using the card, that's how you get the discount.
Right now, we just pay published price. You don't get a discount or anything.
You're pretty darn high dollar all the time. You're, what is it? I mentioned a long time ago what about a gas tank, but you guys think you're going to steal it, huh?
Wasn't there a 30-year success of gas? You go tax, you don't have to pay, you use it once. And the town,
that's what I was wondering about that. There should be an off-road.
The town probably just have to pay it for the town on it.
I mean, we use a lot of gas off-road.
It's hard to find a gas station that has off-road fuel and road fuel. Most of them you have to walk to. You got to buy the walk fuel regardless because you drive to do with a tractor or whatever. It's a lengthy process.
The tank in the shop is off-road diesel, correct? The tank in the shop is off-road diesel, correct? Yeah. When FS delivers.
Yeah.
But you're talking about a gas tank for off-road.
Without the highway
tax.
Yeah, you got all your small trucks that are gas.
Okay, the question is that how many gallons, I'm going to just be real, in a month, how many gallons? Now, this is the worst time. This is the worst time of the season because you got the lawnmowers going and.
Otherwise, winter time you got to sit in there. Condensation.
My point is that let's say worst case scenario, are we going to go for 50 gallons? No.
More than that.
For all the lawnmowers and stuff?
No. Must be at $557 for a ton of storage.
Yeah, at $300 a gallon. So you're looking at 100 gallons. Okay. My point is, if you save 30 cents on 100 gallons, it would be $30. Can we put up we have to have that special thing, have it inspected to make sure that the walls and our tank is in a... So we save $30 a month times 6 months, $180. Now we have our own tank down there, and we have to put up those walls and the barrier and all that kind of stuff.
How
are we going to
replace the next month? We're going to release it.
All right, in my mind, and we'll have to talk about this, but I mean, in my mind, I don't think it warrants us to put up a tank.
It's 100 per month.
Yeah.
100 gallons.
It's a cap of
200. So let's go back to the original proposal. Let's just get the credit cards and we'll look into our own tank someday, but right now I don't feel it's warranted. Yeah. So I make a motion that we apply for a credit card.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right, that takes care of another one. Let's see. All right, the rest of them are going to be a little bit controversial. So,
Controversial.
Yeah. Let's go with the one that I'm kind of giving in on, the sale of the 2.5-ton Army truck. The Army truck we bought like 3 years ago, and legally we can dispose of it now. We couldn't dispose of it for at least 2 years. It has been a lifesaver a couple of times to pull a couple of snowplow trucks that have gotten stuck out. How many times in the last couple of years? Maybe 3 or 4 times. I saw last year that the Army truck couldn't pull us out one time when we got real close to a electric post, and we had to call in a company, and Ted knew this company, and he called it in, and they were out there within an hour, I think it was. And this company, they had a big wrecker. It just kind of like picked up our whole salt load and the truck and just pulled it right back onto the road without any threat of taking down the electric posts that we were leaning up against. And it was really spectacular to see. And I think he charged us like $375 or something like that, you know. So if we get stuck, there's this option of having this other company come out and pull us out. Do we need the Deuce and a Half to pull us out as a wrecker? Probably not. The Deuce and a Half, or the 2.5-ton Army truck, it was a nice purchase for $1,800. I don't think it hurt us anything. We would like to have that shed back. We have a salt shed that could be utilized as a cold storage shed for lawnmowers, for other things than an Army 2.5-ton truck that just sits there. So I like the 2.5-ton truck. I think it's like an insurance package, but I don't know. I would like a general consensus from the public. If we sell it right now, my son says he's seen them go on Craigslist and eBay or something like $8,000. Now, we can get probably 8 to 10, I'm going to guess, in that neighborhood. So we can get some good profit off the truck. And we put it on Wisconsin surplus and let it go for whatever we can get it for. We would also have room now in the shed to put our lawnmowers, give us another storage space, something that we could utilize it for. And we now could get our money back, the $1,800 plus, and use that money maybe to pay the roof on the community center or something like that.
You're halfway there.
We're halfway there. So it's kind of like deep heart to see that Army truck go, but...
You'd have to take one more run.
Yeah, well, there's an option that we take it in the parade in Exonia for the country days. And last hurrah, whatever. So I just kind of get a little bit of feedback. It was Ted's suggestion, and, you know, it's hard for me to say, yeah, I think you're right, Ted, but I think he was right. And but I want to get feedback from the public what they feel about it. Sell it.
Don't sell it.
And you say don't sell it, Carol. Why did you say don't sell it?
No.
You're like me. You like that.
I think it's handy when you've got to pull somebody out. And how much did it cost to have that one pulled out? $275.
We couldn't pull it out with ours. You know,
We tried.
And we were getting closer to that electric post. And if we did any more pulling on it, we were going to have that truck into the post. So we had to actually bring this big, and I didn't know how they were going to do it, but this big crane comes out there for $375 and actually just kind of like picks up the whole truck and puts it back on the road without even wrecking anything. Or it was very, I was impressed.
You thought about buying one of those, right?
Oh, yeah. No, he knew what he was doing. And
pump the salt.
You could probably
load
a lot of stuff in there if we had some kind of... some kind of national emergency.
Yeah, but there's a lot of
whatever it would be.
There's a lot of four-wheel drive pickups around here that we can load up and do a lot of things voluntarily. And there's always, if there's a real crisis, there's a National Guard that has the same truck in better condition probably than ours, you know. So.
Also, we've got plow trucks.
We've got plow trucks. I don't know, guys.
Big tractors down the road.
We got big tractors, four-wheel drive tractors, farmers will donate to move debris and stuff, you know. If we have
did you
kind of
put a feeder out, we said we could maybe get 8,000 for it?
You know what we'd have to do? My thought is that we put on Wisconsin Surplus, and there's a lot of viewers from Florida to everywhere. When we put on Wisconsin Surplus, our ambulances, one of them from Sullivan Ambulance Service, the guy that bought it was from Florida. So, I mean, Wisconsin Surplus is viewed from a lot of different people. So is Craigslist and so is eBay. But this Wisconsin Surplus does not charge the communities anything for having an auction. If you're a private person on Wisconsin Surplus, they charge like 10% commission or something?
That's a place in Mount Hope.
Great.
I was very impressed.
They show up at conventions, the Wisconsin town associations, and they're very. You look on there right now, and every community works with them. So there's a lot of people that go on there. So what it is, it's an auction, and the day of our auction might be about 3 weeks from now if we get going on it. And that day is usually close to bids at 10 o'clock in the morning, and up until 9 o'clock, about it'll be only $3,000 on that Dusenap, and it's going to go really cheap. And about 9:30, the bid, you know, bidding starts, and it starts going out of the roof.
You can't set a forward amount for bid is bid.
I don't know. I think our ambulance, we did set a limit that we wanted, so we might be able to, as a municipality, have a minimum bid on it. So.
You can buy prices for the free, and then if you just set the price, if somebody buys it, you can set your price. Wisconsin Surplus, you get the check. When it's done, whatever is sold for, you get that check. When the buyer pays the buyer's email, the debt and everything beyond, so it's beneficial to the community.
It's been a very good tool for a lot of communities, and like I say, you go to Waukesha County, any big county, they're using Wisconsin Surplus for this. And like I say, there's a lot of stuff on there. Anyway, we would sell the Dusenap. There's a trailer that we were using to haul our little lawnmowers around. Is that the one that you still would like us get rid of, or you want to keep that?
Well, we got one.
We got one trailer to sell,
for sure.
And what?
Then you can buy it from somebody.
Okay. And then, we should decide. Because if we're going to sell the Dusenap, I'm going to get going on it.
And then we'll make a list of what we want to sell.
And then you got a couple of chainsaws that you want to sell or something?
Well, one I jumped out, but we got one that we want to sell. The home, you know, the farm.
There's a couple of things that we'll just put on the whole thing. It'll make it look more interesting. So
I make a motion to sell the 2.5 Army truck on Wisconsin Surplus.
I know you say it, Bill, but I'll second the motion.
I know, I could buy it. I know, I am sad, but I'm going to go along with it.
Yeah.
All in favor, say aye.
All right.
Aye. So, I know that we need that extra space for storage, and the Dusenap is... I don't want to put up a new building. We've got that space, and it'll give us a lot more room to have that space. And we can buy half of the roofing. Or our next, at least this is the next thing, Concord Community Center repairs. On the south side over here on the windows, if you guys go outside there, you can almost put your finger through the window, wooden frames around it, and you can do it on some of them. Those windows and the frames are just one pane thick, and around the wood, it's so rotted that if you put paint on it, it's just putting it on rotten wood. Our proposal that Bev has checked in on two different potential people to replace those windows. We're going to start with that side instead of this side. That side is the rotten side. This one is not as bad, but we didn't want to do the whole works at one time. But over here, it's really bad. You take a look at it after the meeting here. And that leads us to those windows on the outside there, what else was
there? Right, there was the kitchen window and then the hall.
There's a window way down at the far end.
Everything but the front.
Everything but the front. And it was even underneath the underneath the porch, the wood is rotten underneath there. They put aluminum clad up on top so that that is taken care of. And she's got two proposals, one for $17,335, and the other one is...
Did that include the door? Did that include the door, too, or no?
That includes the door as well. Right. All new doors, steel doors, all hardware.
So it's not just the windows.
No.
No, everything.
Right.
And all the flashings on the outside, isn't it? It's wood out there, would doubt be aluminum, and we wouldn't have to ever repaint or anything. And that aluminum would be the same color as the wood out there. So.
And also the window above the kitchen door.
And the frames would all be in the case of the movie.
Yes, and one guy got the color picked out, it would be the same as it is now, but the windows would be a little lighter in color, so that it wouldn't be any extra cost. And I said, well, I think that would look kind of nice, so it's got that a little bit lighter, the window itself. It would make the color stand off a little more.
Okay, and one guy said so 17,000 was 15.
We got a $14,860. $17,335.
In Beth's mind, the guy that has the 17,000 was a little bit more qualified, and I don't know him from Adam, both of them, but Beth had this other one that had the 17,000 did some of your work, Beth, Randy?
Nephew.
And she said...
There's more on his than what was on the other. He also said the sills in the doors should be replaced because if you put a flashlight on it, you would still be able to see light.
So it would start redoing our community center. And I know those windows are bad, guys. If you go out there and put your finger through it, and we've been painting it for a number of years, and this way it would have aluminum clad on the outside, and we don't have to have it be, it would be maintenance free. And that side would be done. The north side here we could work on in the future. I know we have to work on the roof, but Bev was wanting to paint that, and it's a waste of paint to put on that wood out there. It's just rotting really bad. So I said, well, how much are new windows? Now, we don't have to do the 17,000 if we felt like we just wanted to do the windows and not the new doors and all that kind of stuff. We could cut this down too a little bit.
The doors are in bad shape.
The reason, you were here, Bill, when you said that. The reason that we're getting such thick ice, like on the front doors here, is because the slightest warp on the wooden door, and we're getting that moisture in there, you know, and stuff. And if the shield door, if you touch that, you can tell that the hole in the inside is let go, and that's why we have such an ice build that Dave and I were chipping ice during the winter away from that back door on the inside of the community center. So that one needs to be replaced too.
And this proposal was by steel doors, right?
Yes, steel doors, but they were not just some from Menards or something. They have to be the doors that come made specifically for those because you've got that, what do you call that on top?
Yeah, like automatic closing.
Closing and stuff. That
commercial grade.
There's a toggle bolt on the inside of that door, so should a wind come, and you didn't have that kind of door, it could trip everything up.
All right. Again, here we don't have to make a quick decision tonight. It's something you could take home and look at it, think about it. I'll sell the Deuce Map, and if we make some good money off it, it'll be easier to spend the money we made off of the Deuce Map for maybe something like this. I mean, it's going to give us a little extra money, and if you feel like you know, doing something, I mean, the old museum, that was something we were going to do regardless. So So selling the army truck, the 2.5 army truck, and making, if we could make like $10,000 off it, it would really go a long ways to helping a community center. Something that we can really see value. The army truck sitting in the shed, there's not a lot of value there. It's just it's a nice truck.
Well, now, your society is going to contribute $4,000. Is that what you said? Whatever the price.
Right, and I figured if we got a 12, we get down to 8 then, we were at a little over 6,000, so we're in the ballpark of what I wanted to spend just for the metal roof, you know, so we're close. Now, maybe the little extras for the chimney and stuff, we can work on that together too. So I'm thinking in my mind, we should make another proposal that next month we definitely decide on doing yes or no. Do we have to know before that?
We should start pretty soon because if we don't, we may not get either one of the guys this year. I know that 17,000 we would have that done in the beginning of the end of September, beginning of October. That already was told. But we're going to have to lock that in pretty soon.
Well, I'm going to table it until next month so we can study it better. Because we're going to be way over our budget for what we have budgeted for the community center repairs. So we also got to, if we're going to go over, we got to pull that from somewhere else.
And that's why I say the sale of the army truck might help.
Well, if we're going to put that toward the roof on the roof.
Well, it don't matter. We can put it on the roof or whatever. Yeah.
It won't be available for this. That's what I'm saying.
The other option is if you wanted to before some of these things, you don't have a debt payment next year. So I'm not saying we push it off for a year, but you want to put a small finance out there to extend it so that you could pay it off of next year's budget, because we had $30,000 we paid the debt service that paid off this place this year that'll be in the budget next year for repairs and things. So if you're looking to spend some money, you'd be able to maybe can finance it and then, you know, pay it off next year. So
yeah, we're doing this study here.
You can do some creative things, but
I like your thought. Because it is rotten out there, and if we don't replace it real quick this year, it's going to be we're going to have a lot of gas and a lot of utility bills too.
Now, the four doors are which doors?
It'd be this door on either end of the hall,
yeah.
The one that goes in the kitchen, and the one that goes outside the gym.
The gym door.
The small gym door on the outside.
Okay. I'll second Lloyd's motion to table the next one.
All right, and we'll study it together.
We didn't have a chance to read it.
All right. All right, and if we lose it this year, we lose it this year. But I think we can't make a decision real quick tonight. Because, like you say, it's the first time you guys saw it. For us to make a split decision like this is difficult. So I'll agree with that. And all in favor then, table until next month.
All right.
All right. Okay. All right, the next thing on here. The last thing. D. All right, Ernie. We're going to talk about your wages. Ernie wanted me to put this on the table for him to get a raise this year. Not him alone, but the three of them. And Ernie's getting 17 right now. And his proposal would be that you get what?
I think I can get back to what I can go give for a long time and do a lot of work on it. Maintain and everything else. And the other guys, I think they're working for peanuts too.
So Ernie would like to see a raise from 17 to 20, and then the other one from 15 to 18.
$3. You guys didn't have to pay that other guy that just started at $14, right? A dollar less than what we were making.
So So
the guys feel like they're working for me.
Okay, but the...
Because they don't get no insurance from them. All three of us are working for about $55,000 a year or something. 60 maybe? That's the price of one guy.
Some 50, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think I'm figuring it a little high.
Or you're not being overpaid, I agree.
That's up to you guys.
Yeah.
My thought is that Ernie, during the 6 months of summer here where it gets to be potholes and stuff like that, he's putting in 120 hours at $3 extra per month, $3 an hour extra. You're looking at $300 extra to pay Ernie to do what he's doing. And that'd be 6 months, $1,800 extra. And then you go down the line, $1,800 extra for each of the other two that we have right now. And I don't know how long Morris, he says he's going to be with us and not be with us, but he keeps on working. I think he enjoys it, but whatever. So you look at $300 extra per month per person. These guys know what they're doing. They're dedicated to the town and they do a really good job. I don't know. And then they take their life on the limb when they go out there and these cars pass them when they're doing road work. It's unbelievable what you have to go through sometimes. So I don't know.
I mean, you guys can think about it. I don't know.
You want to table it for 1 month and think about it?
Well, you know, usually we
do it in closed session.
Do it, we make the budget and then it goes into the next year's budget. But if you feel there's a need to act before that, I would have no problem with that. I know that all the guys working for Exonia are getting a full load of benefits. The full-time guys get insurance. They can pay into the retirement fund, and I think their hourly rates are so when you figure that, they're making $22 and $25 a year. So
we do have the survey data for the farm.
No, is that something we should have to do at our annual meeting? Set wages?
No.
The board sets the wages. You can make a suggestion at the
Brian end. Has a comment here that there was a wage type thing that...
Every year we... The town of Farmington does a wage for all the town employees. And I can share this.
Survey.
It's a survey that they ask what all the local communities are paying. And it breaks it out by population. And it kind of shows what they're paying. Not every community responds to it. But based on this... We're not overpaying by any means, and we're not underpaying by any means. So, I mean, just for example, if you look at Farmington, for snow plowing they pay $14.85, and for road work they're paying $16. I'm not saying you're comparing to them, and you have to look at what you're doing and what you're not doing. But there are some communities, such as Sullivan, that pays almost $20 for the road and $17 for the snow plowing, which is almost vice versa what we have. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what their employees do compared to what you guys do. Sullivan is?
No, they're full time.
They're full time.
You can add $4 an hour to your wages.
Oh, Village of Summit.
They're not in this.
That's
a village of towns.
That would definitely be
this
higher.
The townships, yeah.
Everything east is higher.
I can say this, you know, we're at Golden Lake. I get a lot of compliments from all the neighbors. How well, snow removal, everything. Mm-hmm. I can say, I often take Golden Lake Park Road, and when you hit Summit, most of the time, the concrete roads are better.
And to your point before, I did all the phone screening for the applicants that applied for our job, and for the price that we're trying to pay for somebody, it's hard to get somebody to do that. Mm-hmm. We were willing to start out below, more like around 12 to start with. If the person worked out, we'd raise them up, and everybody that called me that was probably able to do the job, most of them balked at the $12 because it wasn't enough. So we found a good employee and we had to start him at 14, but that we had to negotiate him to 14 to get him to start. He wanted more too. So to your point, the wages are where they're at. It's
We're on 24-hour calls. I mean, we're there.
No. Did you get
any calls?
Did you get a dog yet?
Today.
Nobody called. Really? Yeah, Ernie was at my place Saturday night or Sunday night.
Yeah, Saturday night.
Friday night. To pick up a dog at what, 8 o'clock or something. Three dogs.
Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that our competitors for our labor, beyond municipal bodies, even the private industry, and look at construction companies, what are the crew chiefs made there, what are the laborers made?
Guys driving dump trucks get 15 an hour.
15 an hour?
15 an hour.
But not if you work for the county.
He said private industry. Yes, I know of three excavators, they pay 15 an hour. That's what a dump truck driver gets.
That's not even.
And he's just driving the truck, that's all he does.
You don't
drive the truck. Yeah.
Well, the thing I look at is our guys are never guaranteed an 8-hour day. They often come in and work 2 hours, 3 hours, maybe 5 or 6. So when you add that into it, for them to compile an income for the month, you know, is considerably different. If you're making $16 an hour and working 40 to 45 hours a week is totally different than working 20 of them. So there again, it's a factor. How many people are you going to get? Just like the people we were trying to hire would rather hire on if they could get more hours. But there's some weeks we maybe wouldn't need them at all. Come winter, you know, we only use a few people when it snows. So
I look at it the average. I mean, yes, there's work they do that they are underpaid, but there's days they cut grass. That's the average.
But see, that we could have two rates. We could have a rate for all highway work, regardless of what it is, and we could have another rate for mowing. Because even the county, you know, they hire students to come in and work for the parks department for half of what they pay the truck driver.
I mean, is that an avenue you're okay with work? I mean, you
are. You ain't going to get anybody to go down there and cut this grass and them guys cut that grass. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. If you hire a guy for $12 an hour, it's going to take him all day to cut that park.
Yeah, these guys move. Okay. I know you move, but that is an option.
That's where you. I don't know. That's up to you guys, but I'm just telling you what it's going to take when I'm going to go down and cut for $12 an hour.
That's why we're talking here.
We're holding everybody.
You know, let me just.
I mean, if you want to hire somebody just to cut grass, that's fine.
All right. Let me just make a real quick statement. Ernie,
maybe we
and
should at least enough to then.
Hold on once. Ernie and Morris and Jason now. Jason's been with us what, almost 2 years now, and he's working out really well. The three of them, and what's that? Four on four. Oh well, Jason's a young man that has gotten to know the ropes pretty well and good. He's now snow plowing for us, and you know he might be the future highway foreman if he keeps this up order. My point is that these three guys are doing the bulk of the work. There's maybe this Dan that comes once in a while. I don't know whether he's going to be around. And our township is being maintained pretty doggone good, really good. So if we want to give up another $10 per person a month to have this quality of maintenance, or say, all right, no, we want you guys to keep working for that kind of stuff. If you don't like it, we'll find someone else. I don't know if we're going to find anyone else as well as these guys really are dedicated to the township. So I'm leaning toward giving them a raise. The full $3 an hour, I don't know. That's
well, my proposal would be Ernie deserves $20. I don't disagree with that at all.
Okay.
But I would think then that would also be our winter rate. We don't raise it above that.
Right. Well, that's what Ernie said. He'll get as much as he does for snow plowing.
So. The other guys, $17.50. They're getting what now?
$15.
So we go to $17.50. A new hire, start them out at 14, because like I said, nobody wanted to start at 12. So that would give us a better chance to bring a new man in, and he would work his way to the 17 and a half after 30 days, whatever. That's my proposal.
Well, I think they deserve a raise, and then you just threw out some numbers, and I don't want to think I have like a bottomless pit to work with. That's the only thing.
Well, we don't have, Concord is fortunate, we don't have financial problems. We've watched our budgets and tried to spend sensibly when we purchase things and try to get the most bang for the buck. And that those few thousand dollars difference is not going to hurt us. Okay.
That's true. That's true. That's awesome.
All right.
So you want to make it into
I'll make that to a motion.
Motion.
So what's the motion? 20, 17 and a half, and 14.
Bill, what did we get for maintenance?
I don't know. What is your price now?
13.
Well, if you want me to look at
we're
going to do this one this month. If you want to look at it, you have to tell me that you want it.
I was just wondering, if you're doing maintenance, what did we get
for maintenance? We're doing maintenance.
Like painting is not genesis.
Yeah, let's take
snow
that up.
It's a different animal.
It's still a line for the shovel operators.
It's a different animal.
What do we get then?
Bevan, Dave, if you guys want me to put it on the agenda for next month, we'll talk about it and let's do it. And we'll
think,
I understand, but I don't want to prolong this night and go on to another subject that isn't even on the agenda. Well, I can tell you that he likes them all, and the employees are doing a good job, so we don't have to have him. We know what he's going to say.
So you didn't call the motion?
You made the motion, $20 an hour for Ernie, $17.50 for Morris and Jason, $14 for a newcomer, and then we can raise them up and get them as far as we want to go.
So Jason and Morris, we get 17.5, and
17.5. That's the proposal from Lloyd.
That's the motion.
Is Donnie even still with us, or did he? Is Donnie still working, or is he done?
He came in. When was it, Monday? I put him on getting the new shirt. He worked 4 hours, and then I was here. So he only comes whenever he wants. If I got something, I'll put him to work if they will.
Okay, so he's
done him home because I don't know when he's coming or when he's going to be there.
And that's a separate issue. You know, he's still in the probationary. We never moved him off of that. I just need to know.
The week before, he didn't work at home.
We'll deal with that.
And now he came in Monday and he worked 4 hours.
Okay. So we're not going to change. We're not changing his pay.
Okay, the motion on the table is for that price. And is there a second thing? I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Call
the country.
No. Okay, Ted voted no. All right, motion carried then. And that's the end of our new business. The meeting now is open to the floor.
Is that effective July 1, or when's that be effective?
Effective July 1.
July 1, because it's the next week. Okay.
Any other comments from the floor?
I guess several years ago, I figured out, I think for every $100 a town spent, it only cost about 2 cents or it was very small for individual in town. So we're not talking about a lot of money as far as the town goes. It's not going to bring everything.
No, it's just one of those things where, whatever. You just don't want to spend money if you don't have to. But I think in this case, we kind of have to. So.
Well, we have good employees.
That's my opinion. That's Ken's opinion. That's Lloyd's opinion. We have good workers. Don't elect me next year for that. Next year. If I have the wrong opinion. So. Anyways, is there any other comments then from the board? If not, I make a motion to close this meeting.
I'll second it.
Second. Wait, Dave?
Shouldn't that, what happens at a cemetery cutting, when you get to the annual report, everything is, I see is going on the highway. Cemetery expenses for cutting out are used to be separate.
Yes. You put down cemetery lawn mowing?
Yeah, they bucket it
on the annual report on the end of the year. Right?
Yeah, we have the hours for basically all of broken out by category. Yeah. I followed the report that I followed when I started. It's just highway and winter. I can break it out wherever you want to. We have brushing, we've got crack filling, I've got culvert work, we break it out to like 30 different categories.
So it's all marked separate, and
I just lump it up into total highway because that's what our budget rolls it up to.
But the cemetery cost is separate.
Correct. The cemetery is broken out. The old town hall is broken out. The parks are broken out. The community center is broken out. I can get it down wherever you want it.
We were just wondering, is there already a highway? Well, cutting lawn is not highway. You know, we were just wondering.
Okay. But it is broken out, but as far as our town board means, it's just called highway work. Or, so. All right, and you can put that on the agenda to look at Dave and Bev's salary next month. So that'll be on the next one, and then we can think about it. And then you guys have to tell me what proposal, like.
We're just more, it's like this, the shoveling of the snow in the winter.
Okay. I know that you guys work really hard, just like Ernie's crew, too. You guys take a very good pride in this community center, so. That'll be on the agenda for next month. And we already have a motion to adjourn the meeting in second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Meeting adjourned.
Adjourned. Another meeting in the books. I think we accomplished some good things today.
We did. It was a tough call. Getting rid of the garbage juice man was a tough call.